teaches in the Bible that we have an adversary. He's called a deceiver, and his name is Satan. Why do you think God created all these beings, angels and all? Why do you think Satan decided to become our enemy? Any idea? Pardon? That's exactly right. He was jealous. Basically, I kind of like to see him as he's a poor loser. If he tried to take God's spot, you can't take God's spot. If you want any advice, don't try to take God's spot, okay? It will not work for you. It didn't work for him. So he was thrown out of heaven, and there's a lot of information in the Bible why he became so mean and mad at God. He couldn't get his spot, so what he'll do is he'll try to take the thing that God created, that God says is my most precious possession, and that's us, human beings. He wants to pull us down with him and basically thumb his nose at God and say, there, take that. Only one of our jobs, our biggest job, is to make a difference in other people's lives. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to read about that deceiver in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, those three verses. And there's one specific phrase in there that we're going to deal with today. So in Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to start with verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Am I getting any feedback, or is that all right? Is it feeling all right? Yeah, I am getting feedback. Yeah. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And then this verse here, this could be about a poor sermon verse right here in itself. And they overcame him, talking about us, God's people. And we overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of what Jesus did for us. We're forgiven and we're made right with him, and all because of what Jesus did for us. And because of the word of their testimony. Now we're going to talk about that. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. What is the word of your testimony? Maybe just a one-sentence idea. What's the word of your testimony? Stu? Okay, living a lifestyle that shows Jesus. You know, years ago, I wrote up my testimony on a little track, and I kept some of my truck at the time. I had a truck, and once in a while, I passed them out, but it wasn't really all that beneficial. But it is beneficial to think about, what is your testimony? Joe, what is your testimony? Neil, what is your testimony? Mike, what is your testimony? And about, why did you come to God? How did you come to God? And what brought you to that place? That's all involved in your testimony. And when you're giving a testimony to somebody, I know there's some organizations that they have these four things they have to say, like the four spiritual laws, and they get them all said. And that's fine if it works. But for me, it starts with building a relationship with somebody. And then you can slowly bring it in God into the conversations. And that's, again, what we're going to be talking about. Now, Jesus tells us that our allegiance is to another king. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an earthly king. Ready for this? It's not a Democrat, and it's not a Republican. Neither one of them are our king, because we have something much more important than that. Jesus is our king, and he talks about his kingdom. Two words are used simultaneously, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It's separate than any government down here, including ours. It's separate. And that should become, take precedence over any other loyalty that we have. You understand what I'm saying? That's a very sobering thought if you think about it. Now, it's not that we shouldn't vote, and it's not that we shouldn't do things like that and stuff, but it has to be so far down the line compared to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And how do we fit into that? And what do we do? And how do we use our testimony to save people from that deception that God really doesn't care about you? Because he does. God really can't help. He's never helped me. Well, you need to give him a chance. You need to give him another try. Let me share three verses about Jesus bringing this thought up about the kingdom of heaven. The first one in Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 15. It reads like this. I'll start with 14. Now, after John had been taken into custody, John the Baptist, his cousin, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and was saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, the gospel is basically the Bible. It's what God gave us, the gospel. Jesus gave us the gospel. But you're to be preaching about the kingdom of heaven, about the kingdom of God. The second two I wanted to share, they bring out some different thoughts. The second one is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, I wonder what he taught about. What did he say? What was important? This is what they recorded. This is what he said. Repent, get right with God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if the kingdom of heaven was at hand then, it's definitely at hand today. What do we do about that? One more in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, reads like this. I'll start with verse 5. And the 12, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. And that was for a reason. He wanted to establish things in Israel first, but then expand from there. When he went to heaven, the whole thing changed. It's for everybody. But rather, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, if we're trying to figure out what God wants to do with our lives, this needs to be the priority. This needs to take precedence. Everything should revolve around that. I'm not saying you quit your job, because there's probably people in your job that need this too. But it needs to be a priority, more than a Democrat-Republican thing, more than any king. It's the kingdom of God. And it's at hand. Now, one of the most powerful ways we can do this is by sharing our testimony. Now, our testimony will change depending on who we're talking to and what we sense God given us to do. My son ties flies. Jeremy, he's not here today, but I used to sell flies professionally when I was in high school, and along with Bosch. Did you know that? Yeah. Bosch and I used to sell to this guy over in Berg, and Beck, Mr. Beck, and he paid us some money to tie flies for him. And when I tied flies, the smallest one was a 24. It probably would fit between my two fingers. Pretty small. And now I couldn't even hold one, let alone see to tie it. But according to Jeremy, now they make size 28s. Do you know that? Yeah. How do you do that? But then I said, so what's going to bite on a 28? A little nibble. You know, he said, no, you tie that before the other fly. And so they see that go by and they get ready for the big mama to swim back. And then they see this big fly coming and they grab it. But so your testimony can change depending on how you're talking to whoever. Okay? But you need to know why you gave your life to Jesus. What prompted that? What brought it on? What caused that to come to the place where you want to make a difference in a decision? And that's what we're going to start dealing with today. I thought of this book. I had this book probably 30-some years. The author, Robert Coleman, is one of my favorite authors. The book is all right. It has some worse things in there. But what caught my attention, what I remembered, is the title. And he's writing about John Wesley, who basically changed the whole country with his Methodism and planting churches. And the title of the book is Nothing to Do But Save Souls. Isn't that catchy? Nothing to Do But Save Souls. Now, I know for myself, it kind of grows on you. I've been at this for a while, and it's still growing. But we should all be open to that, to allow God to bring us to the place where it's a priority, nothing to do but save souls. Now, I wanted to give some examples. I have so many examples. I have a special friend that sent me this Christmas card. Okay? And he's become a very special friend. And he says this in his card. Thank you, Jess, for reaching out to me in my time of need. You have made a difference in my life. Have a blessed Christmas. See, anybody could be touched like that. You just have to take time to step into somebody else's life. Now, that is going to require you to give up your sacred cow. We all have sacred cows. Denny slaughters his every fall. But anyway, sacred cow is something you can say this and you can bring up that area, but don't you dare bring up some area that I don't want to go along with. That's a sacred cow. You understand what I'm saying? You know what a sacred cow is for a lot of Christians? Don't you dare expect me to go up to a stranger and strike up a conversation with the hope of bringing Jesus into the talking. Oh, that's not me. But what does Jesus say? Bring them to the place where you can introduce them to this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven. The people I'm going to mention, I basically had to step into their life at a season that God gave me an opportunity, and I was able to speak into this guy that wrote this card to me in such a way that he's not only become a very special friend, but he gave his life to Jesus. You can do it too. Remember all those Bibles we got sent to us at Christmas time? with Marcy's brother, Scott and Cindy. I think there was close to 65, 70 Bibles he bought for our church to hand out. His camp or other people, I already gave some away. I gave one away this week. You know why he gave us all those Bibles? Because years ago, I took the time to step into his life. And after a season, it resulted in Scott giving his life to Jesus. It can happen. It happened in the Bible. Why wouldn't it happen today? If the kingdom of God was back there, how much more should it be in our presence today? One of my favorite, very favorite Christmas or birthday card. I got some birthday cards, and they were scattered around and stuff. And I got one last week from Marcy's sister, Terry. Older sister, very antagonistic against Christianity and anybody that wanted anything to do with Christianity. When we were married our first year out there living in Spokane, and I think somebody asked us, it might have been Debbie, can you put on a little Christmas or Easter service for us? And most of them didn't go to a church. I don't know if any of them went at all. I said, yeah, I can do that. I thought, wow, this is a setup. And so I was sharing about what Jesus did for me, my testimony. And Terry was one of them, said out loud, circle of friends, family, that's a bunch of garbage. What do you do about that? Well, that's the end of that sermon, right? No. I just moved over by her, and Terry, let me tell you again what Jesus did for me. Now, it's not what Jesus did for somebody else. It's what Jesus did for me. It's my testimony. And I shared that with her, and I got this birthday card. And this, it was probably 20 years ago that she gave her life to Jesus. So it went from an antagonistic, agnostic, or whatever, to a person who loves Jesus with all of her heart today. Financially, she still helps our church. She brought her kids and her grandkids to kids camp over the years. I could go on and on and on. In the Christmas card, she said, happy birthday, Jess. How can I ever begin to thank you for introducing me to Jesus? Even though at the beginning, I didn't even want anything to do with him. But it's because of you that I have this life now with Jesus. How can I ever thank you? And I emailed her back and said, you just did. You made it so good that, because sometimes you strike out. Sometimes you just get on first base and it takes a while to move down the line. But sometimes you hit a home run. Terry was a home run. Scott was a home run. The guy that gave me that Christmas card was a home run. Yeah, see what I'm saying? So how do you go about doing that? If that's what God tells us to do, Jesus said, this is what you do. You get in people's lives and you speak truth to them and bring them to the place where they see the deceiver is not a friend, but God is. Now, help me out. Most of you could probably at least get the first one. Probably most of you the second one. Jesus says there's two main commandments in the Bible. And truthfully, they didn't originate with Jesus. Really, they did, but they didn't. Jesus was just referring to these two commandments from the Old Testament. He was just quoting the Old Testament. But since he's the Word, he had to say that even in the Old Testament. What's the main commandment? Now, remember, there's a difference between the word commandment and suggestion. We'll talk about this in just a minute. What's the main commandment? Yeah. Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And he always puts the word heart first. If he gets your heart, he gets the rest of you. So that's what he says. And isn't that a great suggestion? No! It's the great commandment. If we're serious about God, it's a great commandment that we need to pass that on to everybody else. We do that. We'll get into our testimony in a few minutes. We'll do that somewhat with your testimony. But what's the second? He said there's two greatest commandments in the world. One is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What's number two? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's even a harder one to do because we can tell everybody, oh, we love God. But if your neighbor doesn't know it, how's it going to help him or her? So we need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you want to really love a neighbor, then ultimately the best way you can share love is to share Jesus. That's the thing that will help them most. Now, I had two encounters this last week with two neighbors. These neighbors I never met before in my life. The first neighbor lives two houses on this side of my house. Remember where Jasper and Amy used to live? Some of you remember that. This is the new people that moved into that house. Now, I wanted to find somebody home, and there's nothing wrong with opening and knocking the door, but this is just me, my personality maybe. I would rather catch him outside and go up and just strike up a conversation with them and step into their world as much as they'll allow me, okay? So this was one of them, and the second one was two houses on the other side of my house. It used to belong to one of my good friends. He helps at camp, still does. Harold Biddings. Some of you might remember Harold. And he's had two people living in that house since then. Late summer, last fall, somebody else moved into that house. I've been honestly looking to catch somebody out there. Maybe if they're mowing the lawn, maybe they're working in a garden or something, I'll stop by. It never happened this last week, maybe because it was getting warmer. I was going home from the church, going back to the house, and I come to the stop sign there, and right on the other side of the stop sign, this side, the right side where our house is on, there was a young lady out there with a little kid, and she was feeding chickens. And so I think, I'm going to turn around and go back. I waited long enough to have an opportunity. So I turned around, went back and pulled in the lane and parked and got out. And I walked up to this young lady. I'm guessing she's younger than you. She's probably like 27 or something like that, 28. She has this little boy and found out he's 3 years old. And I started striking up a conversation. Hey, I'm just your neighbor. I just live two houses out the road. If you ever need anything, my wife and I would be glad to help you in any way we can. That's a dangerous thing to say, but sometimes people need help. And they need to know that there's a friend there that would consider being a help. And so her name is Sierra, and her boy is Jakin, J-A-K-I-N. I would never remember those names if I didn't write them down. But now I have in my day timer, it's Sierra, and Jakin. Just like sitting next to Gary back there is a friend that came to church, and it's Kathy, right? Yeah, so you guys need to meet Kathy after church. Welcome her. And so I started striking up a conversation with Sierra. So what's your name? Sierra. Okay, I better write that down. I don't know any other Sierras. I think you might have one in your family, but I don't really know her. So I took out my day timer, and this is my second brain, and I wrote down Sierra. And what's your son's name? And Jakin. Okay, how do you spell that? Okay. So do you like living here in Jonestown? Oh, we love it. It's so peaceful. It is a peaceful place. And I see you got some chickens. First week here, somebody dropped off 8 or 9 chickens and 2 ducks in our yard and then pulled away. So I said, so Sierra, what are you going to do with those chickens? Oh, I'll just feed them. Little Jakin likes to watch. And so, don't laugh. Maybe they'll do it to you someday, Bill. But anyway, so we struck up this conversation, and she had a little cross on her necklace here. So, Sierra, I see that little cross. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I am. Well, I am too. I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus too. Whoo! That changes the whole atmosphere, doesn't it? And so, do you go to church anywhere? Yeah, I go down to Bloomsburg. It's a decent church where she's going. I complimented her on that. And I said, well, Jakin, have you ever caught a fish? He looks at me. I look at Mom. He's never caught a fish. We happen to have a fishing derby here every May. We purchase 300 trout and put in that stream. And maybe Jakin couldn't catch one by himself. You know what I do with the little kids that come there sometimes? Some of my grandkids the same way. You bait up a hook and you throw it out there, and some of them you have a bobber on so you can watch this start to nibble, and then you just hold it for them, and when you see it going under, you go, set the hook. Here, Jakin, hold this for me for a few minutes, and if it starts pulling, you might have a fish on there, and then you can reel it in. And so they do. I can't believe it. Mom, I caught a trout. Pretty good, right? I said, somebody else hooked it, but you know what I'm saying. Just helping them out a little bit. I said, Jakin, would you like to catch a fish? Yeah. Well, before the Trout's Derby, I'll make sure I stop by and let you know. And we have bait, we have fishing poles, we have everything you need. And Mama, you can come along and help. If not, we'll have other people to help them. And he said, that is really neat that you would invite me to something like that. It's not that big a deal, see? But you're getting into somebody's life. You're stepping into their world. And it can make a huge difference. It did with Marcy's brother, Scott. It did with Marcy's sister, Perry. And it did with the guy that wrote me that special Christmas card. It can happen to all of us, but we have to be willing to step into somebody else's world. And so we talked for a while. I don't know if she even has a husband. I never seen him there. So it's going to be awkward for me to do much with her. But I just happen to have some ladies in this congregation that maybe one of you could stop by and say, I've seen those chickens. We have a few chickens, don't we? Don't ask her if she wants any more. But, you know, just use something to strike up a conversation and ultimately to bring Jesus into the conversation. When you feel God's nudging, like, go ahead, say something now. I'm a Christian too. It's not that hard. Just a couple days ago, 2 houses down on the other side between Chris and Carrie and us, they had all those big trees they cut down. You know what I'm talking about. I think Harold used to have a little fruit stand out there at one time. And so I've been looking for this somebody at this house to be outside. And last week, I was going down to Bloomsburg. I had my agenda. I had my things I wanted to do. But guess who was walking from his barn up to his house? There's the guy. I guess I lay my agenda to the side and turn around in his neighbor's driveway and stop and pull in and say, hi, I'm your neighbor. I only live 2 houses down. And he says, the one with all those big rocks in the yard? Yeah. You want to know why I put them there? So we talked about that. It was basically with somebody was running away from the game warden that was poaching deer. And so they slammed into our porch and took out a pillar. So I got these big rocks, and about a year or two later, somebody drove on top of one of the big rocks in the middle of the night, and they were out there flooring their engine. And what is going on? So I went down and, hey, bud, you having a problem here? Yes, I'm flooring my car as fast as I can, and I'm just not getting any traction. Well, buddy, that's probably because you're on top of a 2-foot rock. And let me get a jack and get you off. And I know the guy now. I'm not going to mention names, but he had to be drunk. You wouldn't think that way if you had all your smarts. But anyway, so we got him off. But two houses down. So I turn around and come back. Hi, bud. I've been looking for you outside since last fall, and you're a hard guy to catch. Maybe it's my schedule, maybe it's yours. I'm Jess. What's your name? Well, my name is Jim. Well, glad to meet you, Jim. Hope you don't mind. I'm going to write your name down so I can remember, because in my old age, I forget a few things, names and stuff. So I wrote his name Jim, and it's Jim Millard, something like that. And so we struck up a conversation, and he does some construction work, and he's in charge of building a new factory over in Berwick. And I said, so what do you do there? Well, I design it, and I'm laying it out, and I'm helping making sure it gets built the right way, all these things. And where do you work? He said the name. I said, oh, yeah, my mom used to work there when I was in high school, earning Christmas money. Matter of fact, I have a friend in our church that works there. And, well, that's interesting. What does he do? Well, he does this. And well, could I pass that information on to him? Sure, you can tell him. I don't care. It's common knowledge. It's just we haven't announced it in the paper or anything yet, because we want to have the building up and ready to start by this spring. So I said, okay. And then another car pulled in. What's your name? Patricia. Okay, Patricia. Glad to meet you. And we talked for a little while, and I left. Now, when you start something like this with somebody, you can't do it once and then 10 years later stop by again. You have to be willing to put some time into effort and build a relationship where you can speak truth to those people. Last Sunday, Marcia and I were sitting, because it happened Friday, and last Sunday, Marcia and I were sitting in the front room, and there was a couple come up, and then they turned around and walked back in that direction. And I said, who are they? And she said, I don't know. Never seen them. I said, I know who that is. It's Jim and Patricia. They must be checking us out where we lived. I told them about those big rocks. So is that encouraging or what? They took the time to walk up. We weren't outside. But I'll just, next time I stop by, hey, I see you guys, but we were inside busy, and go from there. You see, it's not a hard thing to do. You just have to be willing to change your priorities or your schedule or your routine, if need be, to connect with some people. I want to, and anybody can stop being CZM because it's a guy and a gal. Okay, see what I'm saying? But Michaela, he's open game that Sierra for you, right? Probably not that much older. And for Harry, you live in that area, he's open game for you. And Marcella, and you see what I'm saying? I want to give you a little homework for next week. And I want you to take some time, everybody, Just sit down and write a little testimony. What made you come to Jesus? What brought it about? What changes resulted in that? Okay? And you don't have to share any of that, but it's good to get it up here. If you don't have already worked out a testimony, when an opportunity comes, you'll just stand there like, oh, what do I say? Where do I go from here? And God will give you the direction. But I have four people on this paper. And if you don't believe it, you can see their names if you could read my writing. Who's that? You wear glasses? This has to be somebody that doesn't wear glasses here. Put them on, Bill. I want you to see that this was in my notes from the last couple days. And I didn't know if you'd all four be here. But who's this first person?
That is so tiny.
No, his name is not tiny. It's Joel. J-O-E-L. Right?
How can you read your writing? That's why you don't know names.
Well, if I wrote everything out in the sermon, it would be pages, and you'd think, oh, no, this is going to be a long day. So if I just come with a couple little notes here, oh, this will be done by before 11:30, and it will be. So we got Joel down here. Who's the next person on this list?
Carrie,
you read it. Who is the next one on here?
Stuart,
you're on here. And who's the last one there?
I don't know.
That's a S T A C E Y.
If you say so.
Well, look at it. Didn't you have spelling in your class growing up? It's Stacy. Now, I want you four, and you know who you are now. Stacy, right? Gary? Joel? And Stuart. I think I said Stuart. It's Stuart. I want you four to come prepared next week. So you'll have to be in church next week, okay? Or you're going to look, he didn't do his homework. That's why he didn't show up. But anyway, come to church, and you should be able to put your testimony into three minutes, really. And you could build on it. But I don't want you to build on it. I just want you to have something to say, because Stuart is going to come up here. And I'm going to be sitting over here, maybe working on a fishing pole or something. And Stuart's going to point, hey, I'm Stuart. Live out the right road a ways. What's your name? I'll say, it's Jess. And then you're going to have to break into my world and carry on the conversation for 3 minutes. Can you do that? I know you can. Remember Jimmy and Ruth? Some very special people. You know how I got to know Jimmy? You'll have to ask Athena. Sometimes you can connect with him email, right? Say, Jimmy, how did you ever meet Pastor Jess? And he'll tell you. One day I seen this guy working behind Ruth's old house on a barn in a one of those big trailers, you know, like to move stuff. And he was just sitting there working away. So I got out of my truck and I walked over there about this far away. And I just stood there. I didn't want to startle him. And all of a sudden, hi, who are you? Well, I'm Jess. Glad to meet you. What's your name? Well, I'm Jimmy. Well, Jimmy, what are you doing here? I know the lady that owns this property. Well, I'm married to her now. I'm married to Ruth. You are. You're a lucky guy. He's a nice lady. And we struck up our conversation. He became one of my best friends when they lived here until he moved to Wyoming. I mean, That's how it happened. You just step into their world and you strike up a conversation, and you don't think you have to get them to repent and lay down on the floor and cry out to Jesus the first time you meet them. It probably won't happen. It's happened a few times with me like that, but that's pretty rare. Usually it's just beginning to strike up a conversation. And if how can you say, what's the difference between a commandment and a suggestion? A suggestion is, if you feel like it, go ahead and do it. A commandment is, this is what God said I need to do. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Jesus could narrow it down to just a sentence like that. That's what he wants me to do. Love my neighbors. Yep, that's it. But you have to be willing. I would guess even in our church, there are some of us here that have never stepped inside of a neighbor's house, let alone in the yard, to strike up a crime. That's all right, because today's a new day. You got some work to do, right? You got some homework to do. Come up with that thing, and just be glad, Cindy and Ola, that I didn't have your names on those lists, right? So, we're going to do that. We're going to practice that next week, and then we're going to talk more about the importance of sharing your testimony with people with the intention of becoming a friend and helping them, encouraging them, and wherever they're at in their life, and ultimately making sure that they have a relationship with our Jesus. Does anybody have a neighbor here? Does anybody have a neighbor here within a half a mile that they never caught outside? Probably. The fishing is great. It's just taking the time to go fishing. It all starts with just being willing to take the time and to step into other people's lives and see how you can be an encouragement to them. Anybody game? A couple. I know you are, Esther. You're probably one of the best I know about visiting with neighbors. No, really. But there's always room for improvement for us, right? And there's always room for new neighbors in your life. This would be a good centerpiece. Carry this to your neighbor. Hi, I have 9 of these. Could you use them for anything? No? Okay. Well, I'm Jeff. Glad to meet you. It's just taking the time to step into their life. So everybody know their homework. Even if I didn't call you for, I still want you to do that. What brought you to the place where you gave in to Jesus? You were so close. If I would have had 5, you would have been 5. But sorry, Stacy took your place. But there'll be other times. You get to hear your husband speak with me for 3 minutes. Now, we need someone to come with a stopwatch. Who has a stopwatch here? Everybody? I don't. I don't even have a cell phone, let alone a stopwatch. It has 3 hands that are going around, but I don't want to keep my eyes on that while you're talking. Daryl, do you have a stopwatch? Yeah. So this will be your job next week. So Stuart steps up here and will say, he'll strike up the conversation. He has 3 minutes to talk or get to know me a little bit and say whatever you think God would want you to say. And when he starts, beep, you set it off. And if he goes over 3 minutes, you go, beep, 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 beep. Okay? That's going to be your, you have to only learn that one word for next week. Beep, beep, beep. So if some of you go 10, 15, 20 minutes to a half hour, and I won't even be able to talk about using your testimony, okay? So that's why we're limiting it to three. And you can do that. So Daryl's going to be my helper. I got four guinea pigs to help with this. Any other questions? You're all going to do this. Patty, what would have you done if I would have called your name? I'm sick today. I can't make it, Pastor Jeff. Joe will take over. No, but I do want you to think about your testimony so you know what to say. We better quit. I could go into so many more examples. Esther, why don't you close us in prayer? Love your neighbor if you don't take time to get to meet him and get to know him. It's just that simple. So, thanks.